from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Next up on Forum in the hour ahead, coming up with just the right name for your baby can pose a challenge. Current favorites among U.S. parents include Jacob, Mason, Sophia, and Emma. But is it best to play it safe or go for something a little more exotic? Recent studies suggest it's a decision not to be taken lightly, with first names having an impact on the size of paychecks. What factors did you think about when choosing a name, and what do you wish your parents had considered when naming you? All about names, ahead after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's Forum program. Baby naming has become an industry, and studies have revealed the names indeed can be connected to future success. What goes into the choice of a name for a newborn, and how important is the name that is selected? We want to take all that up in this morning's second Forum hour as we discuss the art of choosing baby names. And joining us by phone from New York City is Pamela Satran, and she is the co-author of 10 books on names, including Beyond Jennifer and Jason, Cool Names for Babies, and The Baby Name Bible. She's also a columnist for Glamour and creator of Nameberry, which is an online baby name guide. And we welcome you to the program, Pamela Satran.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you. We also want to welcome Jean Twenge, who's with us this morning from San Diego. She's professor in the Department of Psychology at San Diego State University, co-author of The Narcissism Epidemic. Welcome, Professor Twenge. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Let me begin, if I may, Pamela Satran, with you. And I had said in the billboard before that the current favorites among U.S. parents include names like Jacob, Mason, Sophia, and Emma. And we should mention also that according to Social Security Administration, biggest gains this year were in the names Major and Aria, and the biggest slides were in John and Mary. I guess really there's just a lot of fast cycling in and out of fashion, really, isn't there?
Yeah, it's faster all the time, and definitely, you know, the internet has become the place that people go to for information about names, and I think that that's encouraged the culture of names to move more quickly and more dramatically in terms of style.
There's been a decrease, though, in the percentage of babies getting, I suppose, what we can characterize as popular names. There's more of a desire to have a name that stands out, like celebrities often have.
Right. There are people like Madonna and Oprah have definitely influenced parents wanting one-of-a-kind, truly unique names for their children, names that make that child special or a star. And there are many, many more names now. I don't remember the percentage off the top of my head. Maybe Jean knows. But comparing the number of names in use in 1970 to the current day in the Social Security statistics, something like 20,000 more names used for at least five children in the United States.
Yeah, we'll talk about the 1970s. It strikes me from time to time that names that were quite common in the 70s and among a certain demographic now are still pretty common. I think of Larry and Barry and Stanley and Barbara and Linda and Ethel. These names are gone pretty much. Lois, my sister.
Yes, I know. Pamela, my name, dropped off the top 1,000 this year, I think. So we're sailing out to sea. But definitely there's a feeling on the part of parents of wanting to reinvent the names for their generation of children. They certainly don't choose their own names like Jennifer and Jason for their babies, and they definitely don't choose the parents' names. You know, what's called the baby boom names, Susan and Nancy and Norman. Oh, my God, no.
I remember, in fact, it was a book about all these men leaving their wives for women named Jennifer. It was the younger demographic name at the time. It became symbolic almost of those so-called trophy wives, now a bit older and longer in the tooth, to be sure. Jean
right.
Twenge, I mean, how much does – there have been stuff on Freakonomics about this. How much do names really, well, from a psychological standpoint, determine success, do you think?
Well, the literature on that is a little bit mixed, but for the most part –
it suggests that if you do happen to give your child a name that is not only not popular, but just a name that other people don't like, that can affect their relationships with other people. It can affect how they're perceived, and it can even end up affecting their own psychological adjustment. So we did a study on this 10 years ago or so, and we looked at siblings, and the sibling with the not necessarily the less popular name, but the name that was not liked as well by other people had lower psychological adjustment.
And we've even been told about names affecting potential employment. Somebody looks at a name and decides, this isn't somebody I want to hire just based on their name.
Yeah, there's been studies like that where they have the same resume and put a different name on it, and the person with them was the more likable name, at least as rated in these controlled studies, is more likely to be nominated as the person who could get the job.
How much of this has to do with factors like race or ethnicity?
Well, that plays a role, and that's what some of the studies in Freakonomics talk about, too, that there is still, unfortunately, racism in the world, and that has an influence because names are social cues. They're cues to age and generation and race and class, and that's one of the reasons why parents wring their hands over that decision so much.
Well, according to Alex Williams, who had an article about this in the New York Times, the gold standard is to have a name with authentic roots, but that's completely undiscovered. That's kind of hard to find, really, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And so I think that's what parents want to do. They want to have a name that's maybe common but not too common. But there has been much, much more of a movement toward names that are less popular. So we did a study on this with the Social Security Administration database. And, you know, of course, names go in and out of fashion. But we were most interested in the percentage of babies who got one of the more popular names for the year that they were born. And back in, say, 1950, one out of three boys got one of the names in the top 10. So that's a pretty high percentage who were getting just a short list of names. But by 2010, it was less than 10% who got one of the top 10 names. The figures for girls are similar. It's about what used to be one out of four, and again, now less than 10%. So fewer parents are thinking, I want to give my kid a common name so they can fit in. More of them are thinking, I want to give them more unique names so they can stand out. Most parents are not willing to go so far that it's really, really unique. Most parents are not naming their kid Kumquat, but they want to find something that's not in that top 10 or even top 50 list, but it's still, whatever the version is of authentic, but not a name that, you know, other kids will have. And it's tough to find that middle ground.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes, you think about so many celebrity names, like Penn Jillette naming his kid Moxie Crime Fighter, or
right.
Frank Zappa, Moon Unit Zappa, but or for that matter, Kanye West and Kim Kardashian naming their kid Northwest. Celebrity names, though, often have to. I mean, it seems de rigueur for many celebrities to come up with something that's completely authentic, and yet a lot of, as I suggested with Pamela Cetrin, a lot of these names seem to follow fashion almost. You know, there was those hippie names like Ocean and Flower and Nature, and there were people trying to reach for odd names at one point. It seems like there's still those kind of in vogue names. I've been reading about, and this is really addressed to either one of you, Pamela Cetrin or Gene Twenge, just to talk about, I mean, for example, Beyonce names her kid Blue Ivy, and suddenly you got a lot of kids named Blue and Ivy. Or you got a 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon and a lot of kids named Anastasia. I'm not sure that this is necessarily the kindest thing to do to kids, to name them on the basis of what's in vogue.
Well, I don't know if that's true, because I think kids like being in vogue. I think kids like being in fashion more than anything else. The kid who has a name that's not in fashion often doesn't like that name until they're kind of grown up and...
Or until it's out of fashion.
Well, old enough to stand out from the crowd, you know, but ask any 5-year-old or 11-year-old, and what they want more than anything else is to fit in with the crowd. These days, though, that doesn't necessarily mean having one of the top 10 names. You know, in the town where I live, which is a very diverse town outside New York City, I think kids are much more accustomed than we were when we were kids to names that have gender ambiguity, names that have ethnic roots, names that are spelled differently. And so I think having a special name today is kind of in style, even though that seems a little contradictory.
Yeah, I've been realizing there are a lot of Bettys now. It was my mother's name because of Betty White. Like there are a lot of Amys because of Amy Poehler. The fashion just continues. In fact, a lot of Georges because of the new prince over in the UK. What about narcissism, Pamela? Or excuse me, Jean Twenge. What do we know about narcissism in names, or what do we need to know?
Well, I think, you know, it's good to be aware that urge to say, I want my kid to stand out and be the most special and the most unique, that is basically narcissism, that people who score high in narcissism are much more interested in being unique and special and standing out. And, you know, that's not necessarily where that urge comes from all the time, but it is a correlate of it. And it's just something that kind of make you stop and think and realize, wait, why does it seem so important to me to give my kid a name that's unique and stand out? Do I really, you know, think that they're going to be, you know, the next Madonna or Oprah? Or here's a new story I just came across recently, that some of the fastest growing baby names, ones that have grown in popularity a lot in the last year, three of them are for boys: King, Major, and Messiah.
Oh, Messiah,
don't you think
actually,
that puts a little
excuse
pressure
me
on the kid?
There was a Tennessee magistrate who made the parents who named their child Messiah change his name to Martin, and the ACLU got involved in that. I'm not sure how many listeners remember that whole case, but then it was okay. Somebody named their kid Christ as King, and that was okay with somehow. But we're talking about naming, and it's serious stuff. In fact, some of you may remember years ago, Roger Price had a whole book and said, you name a kid Percival, what are you doing to that kid? He did a whole kind of parody about names and suggesting that it creates a whole image for especially male and female children in the early years and can have an enormous effect on them. What are your thoughts about this? And maybe you might want to give us some stories about how you got your name or how you decided on a name for your child. We're welcoming your calls now, and you can join us at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. So please feel free to join the conversation. Again, toll-free, 866-733-6786, or email us forum@kqed.org, or post any of your questions or comments or anything you'd like to contribute to the conversation onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment. You can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle's @KQED Forum. Talking to Jean Twenge, who's professor of psychology at San Diego State University and co-author of The Narcissism Epidemic, and Pamela Satran, who is co-author of 10 books on names, including Beyond Jennifer and Jason and Cool Names for Babies and The Baby Name Bible. And she's a columnist for Glamour and creator of Nameberry, an online baby name guide. Could you say something, Pamela, about how you categorize names in your books? I mean, you choose from lists like Neo Yuppie and Classic Hipster and all.
Yeah, well, Beyond Jennifer and Jason came out in 1988, and at that time in the 80s was when I started having children, and I was kind of horrified to discover that the only baby name books around were from my own generation, from the 50s, and they just had very basic, you know, John means God is gracious in Hebrew, and there was no commentary. And I was asking myself questions, and my friends who were having babies were asking questions like, is this name in style? Is it so far out it's in? You know, is it so far in it's out? I wanted an Irish name for my child that meant red and that was unisex. And I said, where's that list? I want the list of names that mean red and are unisex.
Did you find that name, that Irish unisex name meaning red?
Well, yes. And my daughter's name is Rory. She just got married this weekend, so it's a whole generation later. But that's the book that Linda Rosenkrantz and I set out to write, was the book that categorized names in the way that we found parents were really thinking about names in terms of style, image, gender, and tradition. Names that were in style in different decades, names with different ethnic backgrounds, names, you know, very macho names for boys and very feminine names for girls, and then names that could work for both genders. So I think that way of thinking about names really makes sense, because I think it's very organic to the way that people think about names when they're making a choice.
I have found it utterly fascinating the way people think of, I mean, some of them will just throw Scrabble letters there and randomly a name will come up. And now we've got a whole list of space names like Luna and Stella and Sky and Brit names after, you know, the Royals or London and Britain as first names, even Downton Abbey name suddenly, of course, coming into vogue again. But I wonder, Gene Twenge, could you talk about, is there any science on how name trends change? Any way to predict the next coming name?
Well, there's been a number of papers suggesting that names are now going in and out of style a lot faster than they used to. So it's become increasingly difficult for parents to keep up with the trends in that way. The great thing is, though, there's so much more information available now. You can go online and find millions of websites, it seems, with these different lists of names. And then there's the granddaddy of them all, the Social Security Administration, and they release every May, they release the list of the most popular names for the previous year, and they have a list of the 1,000 most popular names. So I have three children, and so when we were naming our first, that's what I did. I printed out the list. I think we restricted it to 500 and went and crossed out the ones we didn't like and identified the ones we did like, because by my own personal philosophy, I didn't want to use a name that was out of the top 500. I wanted one to be that for it would be at least familiar enough for people to recognize. But then other folks might say, well, it's only the top 1,000. I don't want one that's in the top 1,000. But there's websites for that, too.
Well, we've got some listeners here who want to join us, and let me bring them in. Doug, you're first up. Good morning.
Good morning. I really appreciate this topic, and I'm Jewish. So when my grandmother Eva passed away, following family tradition, we knew we wanted to name our daughter something that started with the letter E. But we were drawing a blank on a name. And my son Wyatt, who was 3 years old at the time, kept saying he wanted to name his little sister Tree. So one day we decided to look up how to say tree in foreign languages, and we looked down at the letter E, and we saw the name Ila, E-I-L-A, which is Hebrew for oak tree. And we happened to live in Oakland, and when my wife and I met each other, we worked for an organization called Acorn. So we thought all the stars aligned, a little bit of old, a little bit of new, and we named our daughter Ila, and she'll be one.
It's a splendid story and also a lovely name. And thank you, Doug, for that. It also reminds me of a joke, a wonderful joke about a kid in the, you know, since Jews name after the dead, the kid is in the middle of the 21st century and he's walking with his father hand in hand. And someone says, "What a handsome young man." The father says, "Thank you. What's his name?" And the father says, "His name is Shlomo." And the guy says, "What kind of name is Shlomo?" And he says, "Well, he's named after his grandfather, Scott." let me get some more calls on here. Karen, join us. Hi, Karen.
Hi, this is Karen from Mill Valley. And your show reminds me of a woman that I went to college with. She was a Chinese woman from Hawaii, and her name was Lala Tai, L-A-L-A-T-A-I, Lala Tai. And after I'd known Lala for about 4 or 5 months, I started meeting her sisters. There was 8 girls. And her father had named them after the notes of the international musical scale. So the first one was Dodo, and the second one was Ray Ray, Mimi, Fafa, So-So, Lala, who was my friend, Cece, and then by the time he got to the 8th girl, they named her Octavia.
But you know, a name like wow is right. But a name like Dodo, you know, that's an extinct bird.
Yeah, Papa didn't do so well either. But then I asked her. I said, "Well, Lala, do you have any brothers?" And she said, "Yes, I have 2 brothers." And I said, "Well, what are they named?" And they were named after the most important event in astronomy in the year in which they were born. And these are Chinese Hawaiian people, so it was Rex Satellite and Roy Uranus.
Again, those poor kids, especially Uranus.
Yeah, Uranus. Although they say Uranus now, you know, they've changed the pronunciation.
It's not that much better.
Then it's just P instead, so you still can't win.
What about all these iBabies? They call them Apple and Mac and Siri. And this is a kind of phenomenon, isn't it?
Well, celebrities started this, right? They started this trend toward very.
Well, maybe Gwyneth
names.
Paltrow with Apple, I guess, but that was not why she named her kid Apple. It's just it's also a trend again. But how many people? I was also asking beforehand. We haven't done any research on this. How many kids have named their kid Barack?
Well,
Hmm. How many parents, excuse me, have named their kids Barack? It's not even on the top 1,000 list.
No, and well, it's sometimes there is a celebrity who is very attractive, very popular, and yet their name really doesn't get popular at the same time. And a great example of this is Princess Diana. Her name really just did not get popular as she did. And I think Barack is the same thing. Certainly there are more Baracks now, and even babies named Obama now, than there were before he became president. But I don't see that becoming a major phenomenon.
I'm also thinking of a name like Elizabeth, which was very popular, and you had your Libbys and your Beths and all of that. When Elizabeth Taylor particularly was maybe the most famous of all movie stars, it seems to be out of vogue now.
It's not.
Elizabeth?
It's still up in the top 10?
And in fact, my middle daughter is named Elizabeth, so I kept very close track of the name. So, yeah, I mean, there's been some fluctuation, but it's been fairly consistently in the top 15 or top 10 for quite a while.
And so I think my name has gone down. Michael, it used to be always in the top 10. I don't think it is anymore, though, is it?
It used to be number one for a long time.
Yes, and in fact, that's how the Social Security name list was born. There was an actuary at the Social Security Administration named Michael Shackelford, who I know quite well, who decided there were too many Michaels in the world and that he was going to prove it. And he created the first, I think this was in the, I know it was in the 90s at some point, the first Social Security list. Before that, there was no national count. And so parents like Jean, who wanted to find that statistic, were out of luck. So Michael, yes, after 40 years at the top, Michael's moved down.
Well, I know a couple of females named Michael, and I also know a couple of new babies who have been named Elliot recently. I mean, that's different than the unisex name. That's actually, in a way, almost taking a male name and applying it to a girl.
There's a long history of that, though.
There's what?
There's a very long history of that. Names often move from male to female. They basically
Your name, Jean,
female to
right?
male. So Carol was a boy's name at one point.
And your name, Jean, has been a male name, even though it's
absolutely
pretty much, So there's a kind of fluidity of gender there. That's sort of. Let me get another caller on here, and we'll go to Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
This is a really interesting subject for me because I am really into names. I think people should name, people should name children that have a really strong, a strong background name. I'm definitely into naming kids from the Bible and things like that. My kids are named Jessica, Elizabeth, and Matthew Alexander. But anyways, when I meet new people with babies, I am always leery of asking the moms or dads what their child's name is because some of them are so out there. And then what do you say? I usually say something like, oh, isn't that interesting? As far as my name is concerned, and this is 74 years ago, my mother wanted to name me after my two grandfathers. I'm Jewish, and that was something you did. And she just could not think of the names, and finally they had to leave the hospital, and the baby had to be named, and her best friend came running in, and she said, oh, for God's sakes, name the kid Nancy Sue, and let's get out of here.
Well, that was a quick naming. Thank you, Nancy, for the call. We're going to find out more about your own experiences with naming or any questions you might have. In fact, maybe somebody out there pregnant thinking about names may want to join us. Pamela Satran with us and Jean Twenge and you as well. You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasnick. You're listening to Forum on KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. I'm Michael Krasnick. We're talking about the art of choosing baby names. Coming up with just the right name for a baby can certainly pose its challenges. Current favorites among U.S. parents include Jacob, Mason, Sophia, and Emma, but is it best to play it safe or go for something a little more exotic? Recent studies suggest it's a decision not to be taken lightly, with first names having an impact on employment and the size of paychecks, and we've opened the phone lines for some baby name talk. What factors did you think about when choosing a name, and what do you wish your parents had considered when naming you? Jean Twenge with us, professor in the Department of Psychology at San Diego State and co-author of The Narcissism Epidemic, and Pamela Satran, who is co-author of 10 books on names and also a columnist for Glamour, creator of Nameberry, an online baby name guide. Let me read some emails here. Dale writes, my daughter is adopted. When we were meeting and spending time becoming close with our child's birth mother over the last months of her pregnancy, my wife, the birth mother, and I chose the name together. We each wrote three names on a piece of paper and then compared. The name Isabella was on all three lists. Another listener writes, we wanted to meet the new person before naming in because a friend commented solstice baby. We named her for the day she was born, December 22nd, the first day after the solstice when the sun is in the sky longer. We named her Julia Helene, Latin and Greek for new light, that perfect name for a golden bright girl. Carolyn writes, my daughter's name is Dana. When I was pregnant with my daughter, I had high blood pressure and had to keep still until delivery. As a result, I watched the complete X-Files series. Dr. Dana Scully was my hero. She was a scientific voice of reason to Fox Mulder's fantastic runs of fantasy. And Mary says, I'm going through this now, 7 months pregnant with my first child, and boy, oh boy, is there a lot to consider. Meaning of the name, initials, what rhymes with the name, potential pitfalls when they grow up, etc. But for me, it was really important to have a classic name that isn't too popular anymore. Not a huge chance of repeating in classes. As my husband is Latino and I am Irish in heritage, we spent time thinking about how the name sounds in multiple languages. And as I go by my middle name, we had a bit of a debate about how big a deal it was to call her by her middle name. And we kept everything private until we had decided on a name. And even after we had finalized a name, people still feel it's their right to comment on the name, something I found so rude. What happened to, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, especially in something as personal as naming a child? Let me go to your calls, and we begin, Simone, with you. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, my name is Simone, but that is a name I've given to myself. I renamed myself in my mid-20s. I'm also adopted, like mentioned in one of the emails.
Can I be bold enough to ask you what your name was before you changed it to Simone? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. So my adoptive parents named me Linda Michelle, but they always kept Linda as a silent first name, and I was raised as a Michelle in the 70s and 80s when every classroom had at least a couple Michelles and several Jennifers, and I kind of thought that it was kind of a plain rap name. So renamed myself Simone, and people love it. People compliment me on my name all the time. I'm now 8 months pregnant and don't know the gender of my baby, so this show is perfect for me, and I have a couple of names in my back pocket, a boy girl and a boy and a girl name, and thought maybe your guests would do me the favor of giving me their feedback on them.
Go ahead.
Mm.
they're salivating. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to definitely err on the side of unconventional because I personally changed my name to something a little more exotic. So, for a boy, I really love, and so does my husband, we love Dashiell Gordon. Dashiell, as in spelled in the way that Dashiell Hammett, the writer, spelled his name, is nom de plume, I think. And then Gordon is my father's first name.
Comment?
And then,
Jean or Pamela? Yeah, you want to comment on Dashiell Gordon?
I love the middle name being the family name. I think that's a beautiful tradition. Not a huge fan of Dashiell, probably just because it's so unusual and perhaps a little difficult to spell. But, you know, I hesitate a little bit to tell you what you name your kid. That's obviously your decision. It's so personal.
What are you thinking about for girls' names, Simone?
Well, we love Paloma, Spanish for dove. And again, for the middle name, taking from a grandparent this time, Melin, M-E-L-I-N, Paloma Melin.
Sounds really nice.
Sounds pretty.
You know, Paloma's increasingly popular, and it's people have heard it more now, so it's a good thing. And then that middle name is a tough one to spell, but it's okay because it's a middle name and it's a family tradition.
Right.
Okay.
Good
luck, Simone. I hope I hope you find the name that gives you and whoever else is involved in this, great pleasure. I'm looking at actually a couple of fascinating questions here. Sarah writes, I read an article once detailing that West Coast United States parents were more interested in finding unique names than parents from the East Coast, and that going even farther east to the UK, naming was generally more traditional. Anybody speak to that?
That's correct. There is a study on that by some cross-cultural psychologists, and they made a similar argument to what we did in our change over time study, saying that that was at root individualism growing, meant more unique names, fewer common names. And that was their argument, that in the frontier states, there's more of an emphasis on the individual than there is in the East Coast. And then same thing with looking at Europe, which was settled much longer ago compared to the U.S., that in frontier areas, their argument was there's more individualism and then fewer common names.
And Gary wants to know, have any studies been done on the effect of androgynous names on adults? To me, it just seems to create complications.
Don't know of any. What about you, Pamela?
I don't know of any, and I think that that's an interesting question. Until very recently, there hasn't been all that much conclusive on the long-term effect of names on people. And it is, the culture is changing so much. I think having an unusual name if you're 50 now and how that affected you growing up is very different from how it will affect a child today, growing up in a culture of much more diversity in terms of other people's names.
Well, here's Doug, who writes, as a substitute teacher in Oakland schools, I come across some very creative names and even more creative spelling. There's often only a tenuous relationship between how a name is spelled and how the student wants it pronounced. But I came across the worst names the day that I met two young girls in different classes who were both named, I'll spell it, Latrine. If parents want to be creative, they should at least make use of a dictionary.
Oh, man. Those poor kids.
Another listener writes, I had and have a very unique name growing up, and I loved it and do not think it was narcissistic of my parents in any way. While the teachers in class were calling on Jennifer M and Jennifer S and Jennifer P, I always knew when it was me. Never any confusion. To that end, I name my children unique names as well. There is certainly more diversity in the classroom now than there was when I was growing up, but all of my kids have never had another one of their names in their class. It creates a unique identity, but not something that sets them above anyone, just their own person, and we like it. Here's another caller, and that's Reshma. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and I love this topic. I'm from India, but I grew up in Saudi Arabia. I was born and raised there, and I was named after a Pakistani folk singer, Reshma. And I came to the U.S. and grew up understanding me as an Indian, but I'm a Muslim, and I wanted to name my kids more Islamic names or biblical names. So I have six children, and all of them have unique names, and I picked up all these unique names with easy rhyming and easy pronunciation and very important meanings. And what ended up happening is it's a great conversation starter, and I made so many good interfaith friends because of these names. And, raising kids, it's a great reminder for them to follow the ethical principles of the prophets.
Well, you'll be interested in hearing the program we're doing tomorrow with Saudi Arabian filmmaker, woman filmmaker. But I think Muhammad is still the most popular name in the world, is it not?
It is, and it's a tradition amongst most of the Muslims from the Indo-Pak area where they actually give the title to a child as Muhammad. In fact, I just lost my father-in-law on Saturday. He was the patriarch of the family in naming every child, and every boy would have the first name Muhammad. So my dad's name is Muhammad Rashid. My father-in-law's name is Muhammad Iqbal. So that was a tradition. But moving forward, they would suggest names that were all religious names as well. So my firstborn boy, his name is Hashim, which is the name of the clan where Prophet Muhammad came from, the family, the Hashemites. So his name is Hashim, which actually means leader.
And what about your other kids?
My daughter's name is Hira, which is the name of the cave where the Prophet Muhammad got his first revelation. It's in the mountain of Nur. So her name is Hira Nur, which means light and also guidance. So it's Hira Nur Haider. Then I have a third child. His name is Ibrahim, which is often mispronounced as Abraham. And he always corrects people that it's Ibrahim, the Prophet Ibrahim, the father of all three Abrahamic faiths. And then I have my fourth son. His name is Ismail. He always introduces himself as, call me Ishmael. And then,
of course.
So he knows about this name very well, because when I was expecting and my son Ibrahim was seven, he knew about the story of Abraham and, doing the sacrifice for his son Ishmael. So he kept telling me, Mom, if we have a boy baby brother, I would want him to be named Ishmael. So we have Ishmael. And then I have a daughter whose name is Haya, which means modesty. And the last one, the sixth one, his name is Isa, which is the biblical name or Islamic name, Arabic name for Prophet Jesus. So we call him baby Jesus, but oftentimes I meet my fellow neighbors, Christians, and they ask, like, Jesus, our Jesus? And I tell them, no, it's our Jesus, too. And it's a great conversation starter, and it's a great way to connect with your child and remind them of the qualities, all these.
You're having all kinds of interfaith and what used to be called ecumenical conversations, Reshma.
Yeah, and I grew up with the name, which was a name after a folk singer in Pakistan, and lo and behold, I do sing folk songs, but I didn't like the fact that it was not related to any religious, honorable female, but I do respect that it was named by my grandmother. So that's another tradition where usually the grandmothers or grandfathers send the list of names to the mom-to-be. And
well, I thank you for joining us, and it's good to hear from you. And six kids. Wow. Let me go to another caller here. Adele is joining us. Hi, Adele.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you.
So I just had a daughter a year ago, and my husband and I, who's actually going Indian, decided to name her Nina Simone after the singer.
Ah.
But Nina Simone, some people love or hate that because, you know, I don't know, some people love or hate it for some reason. But Nina Simone, we decided to name her Nina Simone not just because we love the name, but because she never named herself Nina Simone. But that wasn't her birth name. She named herself Nina because her boyfriend called her Nina, which meant little girl, and Simone after the French actress Simone Signoret. But we decided to name her Nina because also in Hindi it means big eyes, and Simone after Simone de Beauvoir, the French philosopher. So it has multiple reasons for the meaning. And for my husband, it was really important that it had a lot of meaning. And so not just because, oh, cool, Nina Simone the singer, but because there's meaning behind the name.
Well, thank you for that. Here's Olwen, who writes, my parents cursed me with an uncommon Welsh name with only five letters that is apparently unpronounceable. After years of endless repetition, as far as Starbucks is concerned, I am Sam, my son's name, makes the line move a lot faster, and I name my kids Ella and Sam to make life easier for them, though my daughter complains about how common her name is. I only knew one 26 years ago. You can't win. Jared tweets, we named our son Noah Caden after the Hawaiian version for strength, an old English for warrior of God, mixing cultures evenly. And Gabriel says, we're Mexican Jews living in the United States and wanted to name our kids in a way that did not label them in any specific context, since one would probably exclude the other. We avoided things like Jose, Moshe, or Michael and went for more neutral names where they could build their own path in the small world they will live in. The boy is Jacques, the girl is Tess. And here's Brian from San Francisco looking for Zambian names, Brian?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
My wife is from Zambia, and her name is Lucelli. And we visited there in 2004, and we were given several books of names from two of the different tribes that her parents came from.
Wow. You're lucky. It's very hard to get those.
It was, and the funny thing is that when we were looking through the lists and then we would ask for the translation, most of the translations of the names that we found were awful. Like one literally meant fat child. and so we kind of gave up on that. And then my mother passed away right around the same time, about 2 years before our daughter was born. And her name was Nancy Lynn, which isn't unique at all. And my name is Brian, and I was born in 1974, and as far as I know, it was the number one Anglo name in the world that year.
So what'd you wind up choosing, Brian?
My wife took the letters from my mother's first and middle names, Nancy Lynn, and rearranged them and turned the Y's into I's and got rid of the C and came up with Linnani, L-I-N-N-A-N-I.
It's a pretty name.
Oh, pretty.
Yeah. Sounds Hawaiian almost.
Most people do come up with Leilani, but we haven't found another single person in the world so far that has the same name. And we also thought about how sometimes kids can be awful as far as making fun of names. So we were really excited to find a name where she could turn it into Lynn, Ani, or Nani, and still be part of her name.
Well, thank you for that, Brian. And that brings up another point, Pamela and Jean. It's very important to consider nicknames, too, isn't it, when you're considering, I mean, what the kid is going to be called in addition to what the name might be.
And it's tough because you got to be comfortable with the name and comfortable with the nicknames. Yeah. It makes it even more challenging.
Yeah, it's certainly part of the challenge. Let's bring on David here. David, go ahead. You're on.
Yeah, hi. How are you guys?
We're doing okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Well, when I was born in the late 60s, my dad was determined to name me Darius, which probably is sort of a Greek name. But right before they put it on paper, they got so many calls and comments from their friends that it was too feminine, and that living here in San Francisco, I'd be teased about being a homosexual and all this. They changed my name to Boring David, which I regretted my whole life. But because I work for the government in a secret job, if I was to change it, the FBI would probably be at my door the next day. So I get stuck with that. But I wanted to make a comment about new immigrants and how a lot of them take on American names like Michael and Susan. And I always insist on asking what their original name was. Nine times out of ten, they'll tell me. But I don't know if I'm being rude or not, asking for what their original name was. I was hoping to get a comment on that from your specialist there.
I don't think that's rude. I think something that's come up today that's really interesting is that a name is kind of a window into people's backgrounds, their families, what they consider important in life, their religion, their values. So I think that it can be a really interesting way to get to know somebody that you might otherwise not get to know.
We thank the caller. I used to hear these stories. I don't know how much of them are the part of urban legends, but, you know, poor people I used to hear about in Cleveland who were so thankful to the doctors that they said, thank you, I want to name my child after you, and what's your name? And some wise-ass obstetrician would say, oh, my name is duodenum, or, you know, some anatomical part. And kids would have these names. And I'm reminded of that because here's Amy who writes, several studies have shown that having an obscure, somewhat ridiculous sounding name can damage a person's ability to be taken seriously or even get a job. I don't understand why people would choose to put such a burden on their children. I understand the desire to have a unique name, but there has to be a balance between unique and completely out there, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think one test of a name is think about your child at the age of, say, 30, male or female, walking into a business meeting, sticking out his or her hand and saying, hello, I'm. And then when you think about that name, if it doesn't sound good in that context, you probably don't want to choose that name.
Here's Jory who writes, my husband and I birdwatch, and we were frequently visited by a black Phoebe during my pregnancy. When I was walking the morning I went into labor, a wren flitted around me. Later that night, our daughter Phoebe Wren was born. Liat, L-I-A-T, writes, my mom recommends a name should sound great in three categories. Number one, the back porch holler, mom calling out, it's time for dinner. Number two, the business meeting introduction, which we just suggested. Blank, it's a pleasure to meet you. And number three, the pillow test, a lover whispering, blank, I love you.
That's good. I like that.
Owen and Sonoma writes, and considering names for kids, I think it's really important to think ahead to future nicknames. Give a boy that name, Charles, and he'll inevitably be Chuck. Catherine will end up Kate. Nicknaming is inevitable. My son is named Ezekiel because his mother and I figured that Zeke worked just fine. Another thing to consider is the middle name, which gives a child as adult a chance to change names but not adopt a new one. My first name is Bruce, which I never liked, but the family name of Owen gave me a legitimate alternative. And some more comments just from our Facebook page. Lisa says, when we were expecting our second, a boy, we had trouble deciding on a name. My dad, who has been gone for many years, and I miss him every day, said, when I was in high school, there was a boy named Cameron, and he was just the nicest, most popular, smartest, most athletic guy I knew. I've always loved that name. And so Cameron was born, and so far he's done a pretty good job of living up to his name. And as a bonus, every time I say his name, I think of my sweet dad. And Jordan says, I had three girls, but had hoped for boys. I ended up giving them all boys' names, Jordan, Drew, and Evan. Okay, there's another caller, and that's Patrick. Good morning.
Hey there. I have three of my own. I'm probably the only Irish-American Shiite you're ever going to meet. And so my daughter, the first, was named after Ali, the first witness, and a really righteous warrior. I always wanted my daughters, especially, to be named for fighting women. So my youngest is Elizabeth. And Elizabeth also is come up earlier in this conversation. And Elizabeth has, I think at the last count, we found 8 familiar forms. She goes by Ellie, but she could be Betty, she could be Beth. I met an Eli once. And my boy is named Isidore. My wife and I, when she was pregnant, were in the car, and we were listening to a weather report, actually, and a hurricane was announced in the Caribbean, Hurricane Isidore. So we looked it up, and there's 2 santos. One is a scholar saint from early Christian times in Spain. He's depicted in iconography with a giant book and a bishop's mitre. But the other is San Isidro, and San Isidro is the patron saint of agricultural labor. And so he's depicted with a shovel and a bunch of onions. So we figure, yeah, you know, he could be a farmer, he could be a scholar. Either way, though, he's going to war. And, yeah, picking them's fun. You know, it's fun. And
it's also very challenging, as we're learning here, Patrick, to put it mildly. And, by the way, you're listening to Forum. We're talking this hour with Gene Twenge, who's professor in the Department of Psychology at San Diego State and co-author of The Narcissism Epidemic, as well as Pamela Satran, co-author of 10 books on naming, Beyond Jennifer and Jason, Cool Names for Babies, and The Baby Name Bible, and a columnist for Glamour and creator of Nameberry, an online baby name guide. This is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio, so for more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. And we'll go to another caller here. Eleanor, join us. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say, I think a lot of people, you know, someone also said it earlier, where a lot of people have forgotten about putting in the middle name as well and how they go together really nicely. I have 4 sisters, and we all have really pretty names because they all have a name that goes well with the second name, that goes well with their last name. You know, like, I'm Eleanor Louise, and I think that's something, I personally think it's a really pretty name, and I think people forget that old classic names sound pretty, especially when you put it with another pretty middle name. It goes together nicely.
Yeah, well, thank you for that, Eleanor. What is your middle name, by the way?
Louise,
yeah, thank you. Do you, Pamela or Jean, we haven't really talked about what's trendy now. Are there flower names still in? Or for a while they were just starting, names that started with vowels were popular. Is that still true? Any emerging trends?
Oh, vowels are definitely popular. A names is the, A's are the most popular letter starting names. Flower names are popular. But, you know, as a fashion phenomenon, definitely what's popular now will be unpopular tomorrow. And so girls' names that end in vowels have been really fashionable, like the Isabella, Olivia. But we see that kind of going away and names ending in consonants sort of coming in. I think George is definitely going to be, that was not only the royal baby, but the Downton Abbey baby is George. And that may usher in a return to those grandpa names like George and Frank that have not been so popular in recent years.
Yeah, I mentioned before that Downton Abbey names are a high percentage of Branson and Charlie and Elsie and Daisy. Those names are kind of in, at least for the nonce. Let me get another caller in here. And this caller's name is Christophorus. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My mother is Greek. She's from Athens, and my father is an American. And funny story is, I have 3 older brothers, and my mom wanted us all to have Greek names, but my mother and my father didn't speak each other's language. So my oldest brother's, my mom said his name should be Demetrius, which in Greek it's shortened to Vimi, which sounds like Jim, which is what my dad's name is, so my dad wrote James. And then my other brother was born, and my mother wanted Michalis, and my dad wrote Michael. And then English got a little bit better, and my brother Steve was born, and she wanted Stefano, so he wrote Steve. And then my mom, English got a lot better, and she said, I want Christophoros, not Chris, not Christopher, Christophoros. And then so my dad wrote Christophoros, and then my mom's never called me anything but Chris.
Well, thank you for joining us. Good to hear from you, Chris. And could either of you have any thoughts about twin names, things to avoid with twins, or is it difficult to name twins?
Well, if you look at the most popular twin names on the Social Security list, they're kind of the Jennifer and Jessica, you know, very expected Jacob and Jason.
Alliterative
type
names.
Yeah. And, you know, we advise parents to look for subtler ways to link names. You know, for instance, two flower names like maybe Iris and Daisy, or two names with the same meaning. Maybe two names that share a sound at the end versus a first initial. So be a little bit more creative. But, you know, I think sibling names also should be somewhat compatible and feel as if the children come from the same family.
Here's a caveat. Listener writes, my name is Gary. I have always considered any name ending in the E sound to be diminutive. Cute when I was a kid, but not so much as an adult. Please don't end your kid's name in an E sound and be aware of initials. My initials are G-A-S, so for my entire time as a kid, I was called Gassy Gary. Please think about initials before
terrible.
You name your kid. Actually, my brother was Victor David. He became V-D.
No.
V-D Krasny. Adriana writes, it's been said that parents should not name their baby but their 30-year-old who's applying for jobs. And Al says, my former wife and I chose the name Creighton for our first son because she wanted a name that couldn't be abbreviated like her brother's name, James. So my son's friends called him Craig. Oh, well, my given name is Albert. There's been an Albert or Elbert in my father's family going back 7 or 8 generations. We visited an old cemetery in rural Pennsylvania and saw all the gravestones lined up. It gives you a sense of history of belonging to see that. Jessica says, one of my son's names is Levi, a name that has been climbing the boy name charts for several years now. Looking back on pop culture and the news over the time, I wonder if Levi's popularity was inspired by Levi Johnston, the teenager who impregnated Bristol Palin. And I wonder if my theory about Levi's popularity may be correct and if there are other examples of names becoming more popular due to celebrities who may be considered less than inspiring. Any comments from either of you?
Oh, yeah. So I'm looking at the list of the boys' names that changed the most. They increased in their rank the most between 2011 and 2012. Well, Knox is on there, maybe because of Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Here's some of the other ones that stand out to me. Maverick, Armani, and Remington. Okay, guns and designer clothing. I don't know. To me, not the best message.
Well, that's a good message to conclude. It's been a fun hour, and thank you both, Pamela Satran and Gene Twenge. Enjoyed having you on. And onward and upward with naming. Good luck to those of you who are doing it. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeated in the evening. Thanks to all of our staff, and thanks to you, our listeners. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and the Bernard Osher Foundation, supporting higher education and the arts.